I'd like to welcome everyone out tonight, Helenwood Baptist Church. Keep Brother Dave in your prayers. Talked to him earlier today. Doing really good now. He's got his voice back. He was up in spirit, but I can tell you one thing. He's missing the church, missing you all. By the time he gets back here next Sunday, he's liable to blow up on us. So, but remember him in your prayers, Maggie and the kids, each and every one of them. Remember our church each and every day. Remember the church. Remember our country. Remember our county here. Just like our teachers now going back to school and everything. We was talking about that earlier. There are a lot of them, you know, scared right now, which don't blame them. I mean, this is something that's going on. The Lord's going to take care of it. Really believe that. I'm going to read a few verses here in Matthew chapter 7. Dave preached on this one night and touched on it. It's been probably 6 months ago or something. It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. This morning we talked, or I mentioned about the Lord being able to hear our prayers. And I really believe that. I really believe the Lord can hear us. The Lord can see us, hear us, anything we ask. And right here it says, ask and it shall be given. Ye seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you can count on this right here. He hears your prayer. He will do what you ask him. If you ask him, he will do what you'd have him to ask you each and every prayer. I mean, you may have to pray it for a while, and you have to believe it. You have to believe what he can do for you, or that's the only way that, you know, our prayers will come true if we ask it and we believe it and we're one of his children. I really, really trust in that. I believe it. We're going to have Brother Ronnie come forth and sing a song. Deacons, come forth and we'll take up the offering. We're going to also tonight, we've got our African packages here ready to go here soon, probably September. I think we're going to have to ship. So we've still got to do the Christmas stuff. Greg, you got anything on that yet? Or okay. Okay. Well, we hope to have that going here by somewhere 1st of September or so. We're going to have to get them shipped so they can be there in time. Going to do a Christmas package in these with everything else that we sent with the computers and clothing and all that. So we're going to take up an offering tonight on the left side over here, my left, your all's right. That will be for us to ship those packages. It's going to cost us $3,200 to ship those two packages over there. And we'll take a love offering up for that. We got Brother Ray Bearden here with us tonight, taking Dave's place tonight. Or he's bringing us what the Lord have him to give us. So he's going to be bringing the word forth tonight. Remember him, and at the end of the service, we'll be taking up a love offering for him, and we'll do the one on my right, your left, for him. So, Brother Ronnie.
Everybody please stand and grab that red hymn book and turn to page number 175.
Brother Mike, you care to lead?
So sweet to trust in Jesus.
Sit down, you all are up next. Who's going first? Heather. After they get singing there, Brother Ray, you can come forth and bring us what the Lord lay on you.
Worthy is the... Ooh. Oh, wrong key, I'm sorry. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Clothed in red. with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings.
Let me get ready. As always, I always need your prayers. But, somebody asked me the other day, I was carrying this guitar in, and I realized I had this thing longer than I've had my wife. He's been good to me. The Lord's blessed me a lot with this whole thing. I love my wife too. Is she here? I'm in it.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am weak, I am tired, I am worn. Through the dawn, through the night, lead me on through the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak and worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me through the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears, at the night draws near, and the day past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I'm weak and worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on through the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
May not need it, but we'll turn it on. All right. Well, it's been a good day, I think, with this virus. We're hindered some, but nevertheless, the Lord is with us. We just need to walk with Him, obey His word, be people of prayer, and the church will go on. So you got a good number for tonight's service with all that is going on. And I as well talked to the pastor on the way up tonight, and he sounds better than he did and sound like he's getting ready to go. He said, I think I could be here Wednesday, but I think it's best that I don't come till Sunday. And so he said he'd be here next Sunday. He's looking forward to being here. So we need to pray for him, that God will help him and move upon him now. I want to say just a few things about the book table. Several people wanted Brother Mitchell's books, and I had some, but I didn't have enough, but I got them tonight. So I went by church, picked them up. They're on the table. This is the first book that I wrote, The Essentials of Salvation, and you might like to pick that up. Any of these books that don't have any price on them, I wish you'd get them out. Use them in evangelism, read them yourself, might be helpful to you. But we're sending books to many parts of the world. I have a newsletter, and there's some on the table. I wish you would pray for us. And several have made some contributions. I thank you for that. Thank you for the love offering. You've been very kind, and it's been good to be here. I appreciate the spirit of the people and the goodness of God, and how He's blessed you through the years. I didn't know that Brother Mitchell had such great friends. As I knew we were friends to him, but a lot of people here really love Brother Mitchell, and that is so good. All right, I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24. I love the church. I love the church. There's nothing like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And what God has done in His purpose with His church. And this morning I talked about the church in the first and second service that had to do with the fact the first mention of the church in Matthew 16 in the New Testament. And tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about some evangelism, or just the gospel, and just preach the word of God. Now, after the resurrection of Christ, of course, He rose on the first day of the week. The first day of the week's important. On the Old Testament Sabbath, they met on Saturday. But the New Testament church meets on the first day of the week. Amen. Why do we meet on the first day of the week? Well, number one, we meet on the first day of the week because that's the day that the Lord rose from the dead. That's a great truth. Do you know of any other religion in the world that teaches that the one they're following rose from the dead and is was seen numbers of times for a period of some 50 days before his ascension back to the Father. 50 days. That's why I want to talk a little bit, but I didn't get to it on Pentecost. But the resurrection of Christ is the hub of the gospel. We need to preach it around the world. And I love the church of Jesus Christ. But not only do we need to come on the Lord's Day to worship the Lord, but the church was birthed, the church was born on the first day of the week. That's right, on Pentecost, it was the first day of the week. 50 days after the resurrection. And if we had the time, we'd get into that, but we won't have the time. So I'm trying to just move along to where we was this morning. So if you look at your Bible, I'm in verse 44 of the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And I'm going to read several verses, and then we'll come back and look at this. Now, the Lord is risen, and he has appeared to his disciples. And now in verse 44, the Bible said, and he said, the Lord said, Jesus said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, what the Lord's doing here, he's bringing his disciples back to the Word. And that's what God wants us to come back to. We can have our opinions and we can think a lot of things. But if we want the real proof, we must come back to the Word of God. And that's what we need. You know what's going to get you through these days? And the days may be much rougher than they are now. We do not know. But one thing we do know, and that is that the Lord is with us. Amen. Now, there's three things that has to do with serving God, and it's really three words. We ought to trust the Lord. We ought to believe the Lord. And we ought to have faith in the Lord. Really, when you get down to it, those three words determines how you are going to fare in this world. But we must have the book. We must study the book. We must live by the book. We must live by the Word. Regardless, you know, when I started out as a young Christian, I didn't know anything about the Bible, really. I don't think anybody knows much about the Bible that's not truly been born of the Spirit of God. So let me move on from that, and let us look at what he said in verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Now, how does the Lord open our understanding? He opens our understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God teaches us as we come to the Word. And so that's so important that we don't rule out the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians 2:14, for the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The only way we can understand spiritual matters is to be spiritually born again. When Adam sinned in the garden, Adam failed and his spirit died. And all men since Adam fell in the garden that have been born into this world are dead in their trespasses and in sin. Children are covered by innocence, and I don't know, so it wouldn't be any need to ask me, when do we reach the age of accountability? I don't know. I know this much. That is between you and God. It might be younger for some than it is for others, but I will say that we're all dead in trespasses and sin. What are you saying, preacher? There must be awakening in the spirit of man to bring himself to a place, or her to herself to a place where that we can see ourselves lost sinners, and it takes the power of God. So he talks about our understanding. Now I want to come to the next verses, and let me hurriedly read these, and then I'll come back here. The Bible said then in verse 46, and said unto them, Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. In other words, what you have seen and what you have heard, you are a witness of that. And that's what we are. What God has showed us in the scriptures, what we have heard with our ears, the natural ear and the inner man, that's what we know and that's what we understand. All right, watch this. Then he said, verse 49 is a great verse. And behold, I send the promise. You know what the promise is? You know what the promise was? It's the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when did he come? He came on the day of Pentecost. And the church was birthed at Pentecost. We ought to rejoice every Lord's day that the New Testament church was birthed at Pentecost. Now, the Lord was gathering material before Pentecost, but at Pentecost, the church was born. And they were not only born and placed into a body of Christ, but they were also filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, listen. There's a difference in being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Every person that is saved is indwelt by the Holy Spirit the moment they're saved. But everyone that is saved is not filled with the Holy Spirit. There is the filling of the Spirit, and in many times in the scriptures, you will read that they were filled again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the great promise then, the promise of the Father, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to try to do an exposition of these verses. And once I've done that, we ought to be finished with the evening service as far as my part of preaching is concerned. But this is a great passage. Now keep in mind, the Lord has done gone to Calvary. He has died on the cross. He rose from the dead on the third and appointed morning, and he was seen, and I used to preach that he was seen some 13 different times after his resurrection. But as I've studied the scripture, and I think grown in the Lord, I believe that he was seen every day by some of the disciples after his resurrection for 40 days. There's never been a historic matter that there's as great a proof in as there is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I bless his name for his wonderful power that got him out of the grave. But I wanted to tell you something. The same power that got Christ out of that physical grave is the same power that it takes to get a sinner out of the graveyard of sin. And that's the thing that's missing in many churches. All a lot of people have is an intellectual salvation, but I want you to know our gospel came not only in word only, but in power and in love and in much assurance. Amen. You won't have to have somebody always reading the scripture to you to try to give you assurance if you ever really get born to the Spirit of God and get in His word. I bless Him for that. Now, there's some great truths here that we're going to look at. Number one, look at verse 46. Jesus is speaking now and said unto them, thus it is written. And how many times was it written? And thus it behooved Christ to suffer. Now, if you're going to serve Christ, you're going to suffer. We don't like this truth in many cases, I don't think. But Jesus said, if any man come after me, any man, any woman, any person come after me, let him do what? Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There is a cross to bear, but the one that bore the cross at Calvary is the only one that could bear the cross and shed the blood that was necessary for the cleansing power of our soul. Amen. What about that? Nothing like what can wash away my sin. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's a miracle, a supernatural miracle of itself. Amen. How that God, when I come to Him, when you came to Him, when we bowed our knee to Him and we called on the Lord and we confessed we were sinners and we trusted Him as Lord and Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to our soul. God washed us in the blood. Isn't it wonderful? I don't think we really get a hold of that as much as we ought to, and I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about you. I wonder if we really get a hold of that like we ought to. Christ shed His blood on the old rugged cross, and I bless Him that so. If I suffer for Him, I could never, I'm not trying to pay Him back for what He done for me. I serve Him because I love Him, because He first loved me. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of you feel the same way I do about this. Oh, it was good when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the Lord's house? Come and hear the word of God, hear the songs of Zion. Praise unto the Lord, and then hear His word. So He went to the cross, and He shed His blood. Thank God for the blood. And then He rose again and to rise from the dead the third day. Now, folks, I am reminded, and we need to be reminded, that we need to be, if possible, in the house of God on the first day of the week. It is sin to purposely lay out of service and not be in the house of God. Amen. Now, let me make myself clear. I'm not talking about with this virus and when there's people that's got respiratory problems and people, they don't feel safe because of their age and things like that. I understand that, and that's not what I'm preaching, but when we can, it is our responsibility to be faithful. If you read the scriptures in all the four gospels and in the book of Acts, it was always on the first day of the week. And that day's to be set aside, not to go to Dollywood. Amen. And not to be a day of worldliness and live in the world and go to the car shows. If you're going to a show, go down to the house of God and be with the people of God and worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Amen. Well, the message is going pretty good, preacher, until you started meddling. Isn't that right? Oh, we preachers got bad habits of meddling sometimes. But we need to be meddled with about certain matters. So the resurrection, oh, he's risen. He lives. And you know why I know he lives? He lives in my heart. I love him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And then after that, he said the next point he gives in the message, and this is just laid out for us, and repentance, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations. Now let's break that up. Number one, he said there must be repentance. Again, some of the brethren, and I think some of them are very sincere people, but they believe that if you preach repentance and a person has to repent in order to be saved, they believe that you are preaching a work salvation. I am telling you, that's not what I am preaching. You cannot work your way to heaven, and you cannot work your way into the kingdom of God. And you cannot work enough to keep yourself saved once you're saved. But I will tell you this, he that's begun a good work in you, once he's done that, he will perform it until when? The day of Christ. True repentance is the change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. When the Lord saved me, I was marching as straight to hell as I could go. But when I come and repented of my sins, and by the way, repentance is a gift of God, but he will not give that to you until you are sick and tired of your sin. And when he saved me, he did not turn me half of the way around, or a third of the way around, or 90% of the way around. He turned me around, and now I have my back to hell, and my face is set as a flint to live for Christ. And if you're saved, that's what happened to you. Where there is no change of life and where there is no change of direction, there is no salvation. Amen? Is that Bible? That is Bible. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and he's talking about mankind, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That word creature means simply he's a new creation. The power that created this heaven and earth created in you eternal life. That's the supernatural working power of the Holy Ghost. Has that ever happened to you? Religion or no religion? Church membership, baptism, all the other stuff, if that's never happened to you, you're still dead in your trespasses and sin. No one knows that any better than I did because I made that profession. Oh, we got churches filled with it. I'm telling you, there's a real doctrinal truth. Somebody said, well, repentance and belief is the same thing. You don't believe that, do you? That's not what the Bible said. Now, that might have been what the book said that you read, but that's not what the King James said. Is this the word of God? You know what's wrong with those perverted versions? They don't have all the truth. In fact, they've twisted the truth. But what we've got here, there's not one jot nor one tittle. Praise God, that's not just right. Somebody said, well, what about all the errors? I've been reading this book now for 63 years. And you would think if it had errors in it that I would have found them by now. Amen? This book is the true word of God without apology. Amen. And true repentance is a gift of God. I started to quote this verse out of the Acts. It's repentance toward God. You know why? Because your sin and my sin put his son on the cross. Amen. Your sin and my sin put his son on the cross. You are a guilty sinner unless you have been regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost. And then you're just a saved sinner saved by grace. I say hallelujah too, my brother. Praise God. Somebody say, I don't like them hallelujahs. You better not go to heaven. This may be the quietest world you'll ever be in. Amen. Hallelujah to him. We come back on that white horse. Somebody said, you believe that? I believe it like I believe the flesh is on these bones. In fact, the flesh on these bones may rot, but that truth won't. Amen.
Amen?
Oh, yes, praise God. We liable to have meat in here if we're not careful. I tell you, God's good. God is good. Repentance. And remission of sin. You know what that word remission means? It means forgiveness of sin. He cleansed me from all of my sin. Put it all on the blood. I remember some of my sin that I did and practiced before I got saved. You ever remember that? Does it ever bother you? I'd say it does. But did you know, that's the devil accusing you. Because if you know Christ, I am telling you, we ought to be ashamed of our sin, but I will tell you, all your sin is under the blood of Christ. You're saved, and this is a country term. It's plumb pitiful. Praise God. It's good to know him. It's wonderful to know him. Remission. We ought to shout all the way to glory with that. I don't know what's out here ahead of us, but I know Paul got through it. Peter got through it. The great Christians of the past got through it. I got some books out on the table. This just come to my mind of Dr. James Stewart. His mother was a great, great Christian. And they evangelized the European countries before World War II. He was Scottish. He preached for me at Calvary when I was pastoring there, and my third son got saved that night after we got home. And Dr. Stewart's brother, along with, I believe it was seven others, or maybe he was one of the seven, was arrested by the communists for giving out the gospel. And they were going to execute all seven of them the next day. And Ms. Stewart was such a great prayer warrior. I don't think I'm this spiritual. You know what she said? She said, I don't know of a greater honor that a mother could have than one of her sons be a martyr for Jesus Christ who died for our sins. The next morning come and they got ready to take the lives of those seven men. Six of them died. But some unbeknown reason, God spared her son. Well, preacher, that don't seem to be fair. A lot of things don't seem to be fair. But listen, folks, there is power in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman availeth much. Amen. I almost feel that preaching. I've got so much running through my mind that I could share with you. You would not believe how long we could be here. And there's a good spirit here. God is helping us. God is helping us. Remission. Oh, I'm glad he forgave me. Aren't you? And you know what? I'm not perfect, and you're not either. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you, there's too many imperfect people in church. I'm not going back to that church. I'm going to find me another one. I'm going to find me a church that, you know, that they don't have all of these people in there. A lot of times it's not what they ought to be for God. I'm going to join that church when I find it. It'll be a perfect church. You better stop looking. And if you happen to get there and you join it, it won't be perfect anymore because you'll be there. Now, I'm not giving excuses for people not living for God. I'm not talking about that. But I think you get the picture. Lord, he is so gracious and he's so good. Repentance, he is the propitiation for our sins. First John said in verse 1 of chapter 2, or verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 2, he's the propitiation for our sins, which means that he's the covering for our sins. He's the covering. He covered all of my sins. Which literally means that now I have his righteousness. Now, I'm going to say something right here, so don't get carried away. I mean, don't think I'm preaching heresy. But I believe we ought to get a hold of this. Took me some time through life. I don't know when I just really got a hold of it, but I got a hold of this. Did you know that if you are truly born of the Spirit of God, you know the Lord, you've been regenerated, you've got a supernatural work of God. Christ lives inside of you by the power of the person of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't want to be irreverent to God, but did you know that this born of God is in you cannot sin? Now, you can sin because you got that old Adamic nature, but not that this born of God never has sinned. Okay? Is that Bible? I'm going to make a statement here, and we ought to all rejoice in this. You got as much right. Only now, if you've supernaturally been born of the Spirit of God, you got as much right for heaven as Jesus does, or you don't have no right at all. Well, that makes me awfully good. No, that makes his righteousness pure. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. I love him, don't you? I praise him. Praise God, it was a delight to go home and rest about 30 to 45 minutes. And my wife told me when I got there, I fixed you some boiled eggs. And I ate me about 3 of them. And got me some tea. And I rested about 30 to 40 minutes, I guess. And I was ready to roll up my sleeves and come back. I tell you, God puts a tiger in my tank sometimes. We're about to have camp meeting. I tell you, God is so good. There's a liberty to preach. I love him. The Bible said that all of this is to be preached. We need men to preach, don't we? This is to be preached where? In his name, in the name of Christ, among all nations. There is no other name given unto heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. in his name among all nations. Now, we've been sending material in the North Korea. The missionary there will put, they'll take like a jar. Them people are starving to death. This is what communism does. That's the reason why I hate this socialism that's coming and slipping into our country. It could turn into communism. There's a lot of people wanting it to happen. If you don't work, you don't eat unless you can't work. What the Bible said, Paul said, if they won't work, don't let them eat. Man that's too lazy to work, I don't feel sorry for him if he gets a little hungry, do you? Well, now, you're a hard-hearted preacher. No, I'm biblically right. Yes, sir. Now, I'm not talking about sick folks. I guess I better move on from that one. Might kill the meeting. But God is so good to us. But they say, well, you know, it's against their law for you to preach the gospel in North Korea. Well, they tell us not to, but there's a law that sells their law. And that's the law of Jesus Christ. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Our missionaries put rice in some of the people there. They put it in a glass jar. And they put the gospel message like those little books. We got them in Korea and English. I mean, we got them translated in various languages. And they put that in there and turn it loose. And there's a river that separates North and South Korea, and it goes across, and they get they're just glad to get the rice. They're starving. But they get another meal that's better than the rice.
Amen.
They get the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the world needs the gospel.
Amen.
We had a great mission work in the church at Calvary, and when my wife got ill, and I stepped down, and we thought that she'd be able to travel with me. And I had a lot of meetings. I went to New Jersey and I was preaching. And I went to Maryland and I got home and she was real low. And I had a meeting out in Atlanta and I went down there. She said before I left, I tell you what, why don't you do this? She said. He said, why don't you put me somewhere and you just go preach because you got all these meetings and you just go preach. And I said, I don't know what we'll do, but we won't do that. I wasn't in the book ministry then. I had Vance Hafner's book that had to do Though I Walked Through the Valley, when his wife died with Cushing's disease. And I read that book. The preacher was busy that week, and I didn't spend any time with him, and I was in a motel room, and I read that book and wept. I wept more that week than I've ever wept in one week of my life, trying to get the mind of God. And God told me then, you go home. You look after your wife. And I'll take care of you. And that's when I wrote the book. I had no intentions. Anything I've ever done, I'm not capable of doing it. But if God tells you to do something, he'll make you capable.
Amen.
And I wrote that book on essential salvation. And I had 3,000 printed. And I thought that'll do me 4 or 5 years probably, because I felt like God wanted me to go out just far enough. Just like I'll go back home tonight. I never leave her at night. I never leave my wife at night. I'm always there to put her to bed and get her up in the morning. That's what God told me to do. And he started this book ministry. And we've sent thousands and thousands of books. Mexico, Central America, Brazil. I tell you, God has paid all the bills. I don't take one red cent that's given to print material. We just sent 2,000, well, we sent the money. We could buy the Bibles in Brazil cheaper than we could have them printed and shipped. $8,000. And in about 6 week time, God sent the $8,000. God's interested in the whole world hearing the gospel.
Amen.
And what you folks are doing, you know, your pastors, he's got a deep burden for Africa. And you are doing good to help him in that way you can. And I'm glad you're helping him. And I, you know, I try not getting some favors, but we're doing right when we're getting the gospel out. Right? We are doing right. We send them to prisons. We send them to anybody that asks it for them. As a brother in North Carolina wrote, he called me and he said, I can't get good material and I've got yours. What is it going to cost me? I said, it won't cost you anything. We do this by faith. We print it. We send it out. We pay the postage. And God sends the money. And I've never been behind one time. I tell you, God is a big God, and he's not done with us. And he's not done with this church. Church, if you will pray, I believe we can make the difference in how things go in November 3. If God is not done with this nation and drawed the line on us because of the wickedness of this nation, we've got better than 60 million babies' blood crying out at the throne of God. Whatever God does, we deserve it as a nation. But I read that Old Testament, and I keep reading it, how the men of God prayed and how God delivered them.
Amen.
Do you think God delivered those New Testament Christians? If you don't, making some extra effort to pray in these days, you ought to do it. I thought I'd get verse 49, but I believe the Lord's put the stopwatch on me. I really wanted to preach 49. Maybe another time he might help me do that. But I have thoroughly enjoyed just being here. There may be somebody tonight that needs to come. You know, just ask God to strengthen you. I don't know what your needs are. You don't have to tell me or nobody else. But our brother's going to come, and he's going to sing a couple of verses probably. And we're going to stand. A pianist will come. We're going to stand and go right ahead. I think I just need to close right there. And if you need to come, you come while we stand. Standing. If you can stand, if you can't, well, then that's fine. We understand. What's our number, brother?
170.
He's getting it. He'll be here.
177. I surrender.
All right. 177. You need to come, you come. Let's be praying that God will work. Come on. Get on your knees in this altar if you need to. Would you do that, please? Our brother singing, sing with him.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Sit all on the altar.
All
are you willing to die to all things?
Freely
for Christ's sake.
Give. I
Paul said all things become dumb.
Dark trust him,
Christ
in his service daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all.
That's a lot said, but we need to do it. Need to surrender all.
Blessed Savior, I surrender all.
You know, even after you're saved, you're going to battle with the world, you're going to battle with the flesh, and you're going to battle with the devil. The greatest day in your life is when you come and you put it all on the altar. You say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to serve you more than anything in the world. I want to do what you want me to do. And you know, there may be a time even after you do that, that you'll kind of begin to slip a little bit. I'm not talking about falling into gross sin. I'm just talking about the world will pull at you. The flesh will get a hold of you. You may have to come back and say, God, I need you to pull me back up on that old altar again. Burn this out of me. I want to give my all to you. I said to Tyler, his dad's a pastor. He is in our church, and he's pastoring a good church now. And I said to Tyler coming up here, Tyler, there's not a greater thing that some of you young men could do and young women could do in our nation than to give their life without reservation to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lottie Moon, back in the day, you know, the old Southern Baptists were great Christians. Apostasy got into it. Amen. But Lottie Moon was going to that First Baptist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. I didn't know Lottie Moon. She is older, of course. That's another generation. 30 miles from where I live. And on that Sunday morning, the preacher preached. And Lottie came down to the altar and surrendered her life to go to China as a missionary. I don't know what year that was. She surrendered, and one lady came to her and said, Lottie, if you go to China, you'll never have a husband. You'll never have children. Your life will be ruined. She said, you'll die. She said, oh, no, you got it wrong. She said, do you remember the morning that I went to the altar? She said, I died that morning to everything for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what Paul did, wasn't it?
Amen.
Some of you young people, God bless you. You're fine young people. It'd be great if you'd give you all. She went to China, and she is unsupported. You know, it was a lot different than it is now. And she would take her food and give it to the Chinese that was starving because of communism. And she starved herself so until she died. Do you think she died unrewarded? Wait till we get home.
Hey.
It's going to be something. One other verse. Somebody may want to come tonight and lay it all on the altar. What about it?
All to Jesus I surrender.
This is sobering. God's talking to us.
At his feet I